From the book of Psalms 43:3 we read, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. In the Bible, the Lord has used various illustrations to emphasize the different aspects of the truth. One of these is the joyful sound. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The joyful sound reminds us the fact that the truth is as music to our ears, that is harmonious. The harmonious sounds of the truth began to be heard very dimly in the Garden of Eden. He was attached to that wonderful theme of the seed. The seed of the woman, which should bruise the serpent's head. The joyful sound of the truth was enlarged upon in the promise of Abraham and repeated by God's holy prophets. Then when Jesus was born, the angel sang, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of a great joy, which shall be to all people. Jesus continued to proclaim that joyful sound of truth. And so the apostles and those of the early church. And down here at the end of the age, we have had the privilege of proclaiming the joyful sound of truth. Are we faithful in our endeavor to proclaim the joyful sound for the encouragement of others? I'm sure we do. The light of truth is another one of the beautiful symbol which the Lord used to emphasize another aspect of the same wonderful message and given to His people. This particular symbol reminds us that we are living in a dark world, a world that is alien from God, a world that is ruled by Satan, the prince of darkness. And so the truth in the hearts and lives of God's people, by contrast, is as a light to them. It enlightened their mind, their hearts, to know the meaning of the circumstances of a life in which they find themselves. To know the meaning of those who know the joyful sound of a truth, who walks in the light in the Lord's countenance, those who have been blessed to see the light. Also, they have the assurance that they too are walking in the light of the Lord's countenance. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Matthew 13:16. In this illustration, we have the idea of a light been visible to our eyes and the joyful sound to our spiritual ears. And so, just as the first promise of the seed, O the woman, was the beginning of the joyful sound, this first promise was the beginning of the glorious light of truth. He was later given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then to the nation of Israel. But there is something singular. There is something singular about God's dealing with all His people in the past ages, which is that the light with which they were favored remained with them. They did not have the commission from God as we have to proclaim that light to the world. We have a good example of this in the case of Abraham. God told Abraham of His wonderful purpose concerning His seed that will bless all the family of the earth. But He did not commission Abraham to go out and reveal that information to everyone. The Jewish people were given the law, but not commissioned to go out and give it to others. And this perhaps reflected in the text, which in the nature of a prayer by the psalmist, O Lord, send out Thy light and Thy truth. All of God's prophet knew something of the light of truth, but they could not understand how much as much of the glorious gospel of Christ, the Messiah, who was to come and bless all the family of the earth, as God has revealed to us. In addition to the clear-cut instruction of the Word of God, which outlined the responsibility of Christian as a light of the world, the Lord has commissioned us to serve as ambassador for Christ. He was the light of life, and His followers, in representing Him, are thereby the light of the world. Thus we see that the matter of being a Christian is both an honor and responsibility. It implies much more than the fact that we have received the blessing of reconciliation ourselves and now enjoy peace with God. It means that we are to lay down our lives as co-worker with the Lord in carrying forward His plan for enlightening and blessing the world. The Lord has furnished us with a prophecy to this effect, which it is also a type. Through Malachi the Lord said, Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great, dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 5 and 6. This prophecy describes a work of reformation or reconciliation. While John the Baptist denied that he was the foretold Elijah, Jesus explained to his disciples that if they could receive it, John was Elijah. What Jesus meant was that If the ministry of John had resulted in their reformation over their hearts and lives, then to them he was Elijah, having accomplished for them the foretold Elijah work. But John's ministry, so far as the majority in the nation of Israel was concerned, failed. And the alternative fulfillment of mentioned the prophecy came about to that unhappy nation. He was smitten with curse, the great time of trouble which fell upon the Jewish people in AD 70 and 73. However, the Elijah effort has been carried on throughout the ages by Jesus and the church. The call to reconciliation is gone out by means of the gospel message and is still being proclaimed by the faithful ambassador for Christ. The world has not responded to this invitation to any extent. Sin and selfishness have a continuum, and now at the very end of the age, the people are increasingly lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Again, the alternative fulfillment of the prophecy comes. There is no way out. The curse once more falls in the form of the greatest time of trouble the world has ever known. Divine wisdom foresaw the failure of John the Baptist as well as the failure of others. But it was the divine will that the effort should be made and that it continue to be made. For is thereby that the followers of the Master, in serving now as the light of the world, are being trained for the future work of the kingdom, in which mankind will be reconciled to God so universally that no one will be needed to say to his neighbor, "Do you know the Lord?" Because they shall all know him, from the least of them into the greatest of them. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:2 explained that during the day of the Lord, the brethren will not be in darkness concerning the means or events occurring around them. The reason is that they are children of a light and the children of the day. The day of the Lord is the time of the Master's second presence. And there can be no question that we are now living in this period of the divine plane. And as we see the event of the evil world passing away, our affection should be more than ever set upon the promises of God, which pertain to the new world, the new heaven, and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 3:11-13, wrote, "See then that all these things shall be dissolved, one matter of a personal it to be, in all holy conversation and godliness." If we are fully living up to our privileges as children of light, we will conduct our lives as though we were actually living in the time when the Son of Righteousness shall have destroyed the devil's world of darkness. And the law of the new kingdom are full in operations. This is a very high standard of conduct, and we ought to show it. We are God's representative, yes, and ambassadors. We ought to tell the people about the light and knowledge of the glory of God that is to come so soon. We ought to help them to contrast the present evil world with the glorious condition of God's kingdom. We know that the great accelerated tempo over the world events has done much to increase the pressure of a business requiring an unprecedented rush to keep abreast of the time. This has brought also greater danger to the Lord's people, all being choked with the cares of the world, as pointed out in the parable of the soil. Perhaps never before has the matter of making a living has been such a strenuous one. It is a time when we especially need the counteract and influence of the Spirit of God in our lives to offset the pressure of the world and its cares. And one of the best means of obtaining and retaining God's Spirit is through association with the Lord's people, the children of light. We need His communion with one another and also with the Lord. And what a rich blessings are received when we exhort one another and encourage one another to stand fast along the line of the instruction laid down in His Word. God is light. In Him that is on darkness, He dwelleth in light, which no man can approach. But we do have some control. We do have some control over the amount of light which comes to us through the lens of God's Word. We all have our cameras. When we take a picture of our camera, we can control the amount of light by means of a little shutter. So we too depend how wide we open the shutter of our hearts to let the light of God's words enter into our lives. It is also granted to us to say how sensitive our hearts are to the light which has come to us through the Bible. Jesus, speaking of Himself as being the light of the world, the light of life from the Heavenly Father Himself, is reflected through Jesus, the living Word of God. By means of this light, the knowledge of God's glory will yet fill the earth as the water covers the sea. To be children of a day means that we are followers of Jesus. And as a Jesus reflected the light of the Heavenly Father, and because of this was the light of the world, so His followers, you and I, who radiated the light shining from Him, are said by Jesus to be the light of the world. This should mean more to us than a theory. It should mean an earnest, intelligent effort on our parts to learn the truth and obey the truth, and also to copy the characteristic quality of the great life giver. This means that as a consecrated Christian, we will be faithful in bearing witness to the light which is the glorious gospel of the kingdom. As a true follower of the light as it shines in the face of Jesus, we will endeavor as far as possible to be like Him. We will strive to be like Him in meekness, in patience, in gentleness, and in love. Jesus was a servant of all, and we will also endeavor to be faithful in our service of Heavenly Father and of the brethren. The knowledge of the truth is intended to be more than an inspiration. It is given to the consecrated as a guide to the manner in which they ought to serve the Lord and His people. Our text also reminds us of something else that is wonderful. He says, "Send out thy light and thy truth." The word translated "truth" here has also a basically thought of a stability. And what a wonderful thing it is to have our lives stabilized by the truth. We are in the world filled with fear, and yet we have no fear in our hearts. God is in the midst of her. We do not fear. Though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we have something that is tangible. We have the stabilized influence of the Word of God, not only in our lives, but we have the assurance that the glorious truth will yet be victorious in the world. He will accomplish that which the Lord pleases, and it will prosper as He has promised. So Jesus came 2,000 years ago as the great luminary, the great light giver, in answer to the psalmist's prayer, "Send out the light." And He has been sent out since the days of Jesus, to the extent that His faithful servant have been able to serve as the light of the world, and down here at the end of the age, still have the privilege to continue with the proclamation of the message of Christ. We may not see great result. He would surprise us if we did. But nevertheless, we know that the word will not return into the Lord void, but He will accomplish that which He pleases to accomplish. We know that His blessing, the truth shall be accomplished, shall accomplish the complete enlightenment of all the world of mankind. This is just another way of saying that we have been led by the Lord, led by the great luminary, our Lord Himself. The psalmist also speaks of being led to God's holy hills, to the tabernacle, to His residence. We are led into His tabernacle now. If faithful, we will be part of the tabernacle of God, in which we will find God through the end, bless the human race in the 1,000 years which the Lord has prepared for the mankind. We are being led to Zion Hill, and we also led there by Jesus the great luminary. In the 5th chapter 6 verse of Revelation, Jesus referred as the Lamb that has been slain. The picture in the 14th chapter show 144,000 who are with Him among Zion. These are with Him among Zion because As the fourth chapter, as the fourth verses of this chapter tell us, they follow the Lamb. Remember that well. If we want to be led to the holy hill of Zion, we must follow the light which led us there, which bring us there. The great luminary Jesus, who in the picture of Revelation 5 is the Lamb that was slain. This emphasized the fact that if we follow Him, we too must continue to walk in the narrow way of a sacrifice that leads to death. Jesus arrived at Mount Zion by the way of a sacrificial death, and we will arrive at Mount Zion only by the way of a sacrificial death. Lay down our lives in the service of the Lord, being the light of the world, just as Jesus was the light of the world. Yes, this is the great privilege set before us. It is only by following the Lamb that we can hope to be with Him in Mount Zion. Following human leadership will not do. Following husband or wives will not do. Following hobbies will not do. May the Lord help us to be faithful followers of our Master. There will be a great assistance to one another as we walk in our way and keep our hearts and our minds centered and fixed upon Jesus, and together sing His praises, the praises of Him who has called us out of our darkness into this marvelous light. And again, may the words of the psalmist remain always in our hearts and mind. O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me.